Beyond the Stethoscope, the podcast for veterinarians, healthcare providers, and busy professionals who want actionable, implementable solutions surrounding work-life balance, accomplishing your goals, and living your dreams. I'm your host, Dr. Angela Demery.
We are here today in front of a live audience with Joanna Kleinman from Dethroning Your Inner Critic to discuss just that. Hi, Joanna.
Hey, Angela. Thanks so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here. And I'm excited that we've got a live audience. That's wonderful.
Oh, I couldn't be more excited than to talk to you again today as well. And for those of you, our amazing listeners who have signed up to receive the show notes, you'll get an email each week about the show that gets published on your favorite podcast platform, and you'll get an opportunity to become a member of the live audience absolutely for free. These free seats are space available and first come, first served. So be sure to sign up and register and reserve your seat as soon as you're able. And you can get all of the details at pauseconsulting.com/blog and sign up for the emails at pauseconsulting.com/show notes, all one word. For the live audience members today, you'll have an opportunity to submit your questions through the Q&A during the live recording or email them to me in advance. And the five questions segment of each show will be broadcast live to Facebook at Demery DVM. So be sure to smash that follow button so you're notified when we go live, and we'll have the links in the show notes for you as well. So without further ado, we are here today with Joanna Kleinman. She is a licensed psychotherapist, a national workshop leader, and upcoming author with more than 22 years of experience working in private practice with clients both locally and all over the world via Zoom. She created the online transformational program called Dethroning Your Inner Critic and podcast. And it is an approach that centers around her groundbreaking MIND method, M-I-N-D method, which consists of examining the habitual and conditioned thoughts and beliefs in our minds that have been playing on this repetitive loop for our whole lives and are as transparent as breathing. She teaches clients to rewire the automatic hardwiring in our minds, not by changing the conditioned thoughts, but by breaking the habit of giving energy and attention to the conditioned thoughts and beliefs. And the MIND method is this one of a kind, and its foundation is guided by the unconventional idea that you don't need to have a lifetime to learn it, to master it, and then change the processes of the mind. Most people try to change their external circumstances of their lives in order to think and feel the contentment and satisfaction that they desire, but her methods focus on changing from the inside out. So I am so excited to welcome back to the show, Joanna. Thank you again for joining us today.
It is my absolute pleasure. It is my passion to talk to people about how to fundamentally think in a very different way. So I'm thrilled to be part of this conversation today.
Well, I am so excited to jump right in and learn more about giving our inner critics the old heep-ho and learn how to live the life of our dreams. So let's start by reminding our audience, what is our inner critic and where does it come from?
Yep. So what I call your inner critic is really the mind that, right, talks to us. Literally, figuratively, this is literally over 60,000 times a day. We have 60,000 thoughts a day. Okay. So we wake up with this mind and it just goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. We go to sleep with this mind. It just goes and goes and goes and goes. And most people are not taught that they are actually not the thoughts in their mind. They are actually separate from that internal mind chatter, and they don't know it. And so they are listening to every word that their mind says. And what's really fascinating is that when we really start exploring what are your thoughts, ultimately what you find is it's the same regurgitated thoughts over and over again. Okay. In other words, you know, we're going through our day and, you know, somebody says something and we get triggered, right? We get angry or we get upset or we get scared or, you know, whatever, something happens, okay? It is the same internal, we'll call it pain button that keeps getting triggered over and over and over again. And, you know, really the people that I work with, okay, in the world right now, are really women that are up to something big, that they know that they have something to offer this world, something bigger than themselves, right? They are meant to be on this planet to make an impact and make a difference. And yet they are stuck and stopped in their old stuff, right? It could be stuff that keeps coming up in relationships. It could be coming up in their confidence. It could be coming up in their, right, inability to know what direction to take or where to go. And that's really my passion, is to help people that are the change makers of the world to think in a way so that you are accessing your best self, so that you are living life right now from a place of joy and abundance and gratitude and love. Okay. Because the thing is, and Angela, I'm wondering if you can relate to this, the way that most people, right, including myself, right? I created my mind method and all of my, I wrote my book, right? First and foremost for myself, right? Because most people are waiting until they get the thing that they say they want or they need. And then they'll be happy, right? Once I get the relationship, once I get the job, once I get the money, once I get the accolades, once I get the degree, once I make this goal, right? Once I get to some other place other than right now, right? Once I fix this and change that and work on this and get this person to be different and get myself to be different. And that is why I swear, like that's where our suffering comes from.
And Joanna, you hit on something so incredibly important and powerful, because I recognized that, oh, it was probably about 7 years ago now in myself, that I was always chasing something and that I would be happy when I hit this level of success. And I've had that level of success and it came and it went and all of these things, right? And it's why I ask questions number 2 and 3 at the end of every show in the 5 question segment, and why I think my listeners really love these 5 question segments, because you know, we know from the research, it's super clear, and I know you know this, and you probably have even more details you can share with all of us, that it's not when we achieve X success that we'll be happy, but it's about more like finding that joy in our daily lives. And sometimes the really super mundane things that we have to generate that energy, and we have to figure out what is happiness, and then choose, mm-hmm. quite frankly, to have that mindset that allows us to be in that space, is how I view it anyway.
Yes. So it's interesting because you just talked about generating, I think you said generating happiness or generating
energy.
Joy.
Yep. Generating energy.
Energy. Yes. Thank you. That's important. That's an important distinction, the energy. Were you going to say something about that?
Well, I was just going to share, like, I mean, I figured out, and it took a long time, but I can say, okay, this is the energy I need to bring right now to this moment to do my job well, to be fully focused, fully present and here. And these are all the distractions that I need to shut off. And when I do that and I'm able to be fully present and I can appreciate something I see or the conversation that we're having, that peace and that lack of distraction, and also bringing that joy to the project or the interaction or whatever it is, allows me to actually have a greater level of happiness. So I don't know what you might say about that, but I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah. So see, I love what you're talking about when you say energy. Okay. Because if you think about, right, everything is energy. We're energy, right? This microphone in front of me, right? We look at it on a molecular level, it's energy, right? Everything is energy. So when we are experiencing, let's say, doubt, let's say anger, overwhelm, stress, frustration, right? Whatever it is, okay? What we can say is that what that really is stuck energy. So what I mean by that is we think, okay, like I'm really frustrated because I've told my husband, you know, 1,000 times to put the soda can in the recycling bin and he never remembers to put the soda can in this recycling bin, right? We're not really upset about the soda can. We think we're upset about the soda can. We're really upset if we really get quiet and look deeper, okay? It's, right, he doesn't respect me. He doesn't listen to me. He doesn't care about, right, what I say. And this is with everything, okay? Whether we're talking about our professional lives, whether we're talking about our personal lives, whether we're talking about something about ourselves that we can't be with, okay? It is that what's getting triggered is stuck energy. Okay. If you look and see whatever is triggering some internal upset, right, or internal discontent right now, it's very easy to see that this feeling of discontent is nothing new. This circumstance or this person might be triggering it right now. But you had a version of this 5 years ago, and you had a version of this 15 years ago, and you had a version of this when you were, you know, 11, and you had a version of this when you were 7. And so the way that most people operate in life is that they're trying to, in some way, control everything in their life, right? Like I said before, if I can get life to look the way I want it to, or if I can ward off the parts of life that I don't want, right, then I'll be happy. But if we actually look at life, and I always say this, life is a river, okay? It flows, right? And the truth is that we have absolutely zero, people might get upset about this when I say this, but we have zero control over where the river flows. It's going to flow where it flows. Sometimes it flows to places that we like. We're like, oh, that feels really good. And then sometimes it flows to places that we don't like. And we go, oh, that feels really bad. Okay. But here's the key to life. Okay. Is the ability to be able to stay centered with all of it. Because even when life flows to where we want it to go, the truth is that's going to change. Right? And if it flows to where we don't want it to go, that's going to change too. So many people are spending their lives, you know, so tightly gripped because they're right? If life is the way I want it to, I got to hold on to it. I got to make sure that it, right, it keeps going and it doesn't, you know, stop giving me what I want, right? Or if it's not going that way, I got to figure it out. I got to force it. I got to figure out the solutions to get it to go the way I want. And that is not ever, 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 ever what is going to get us to really experience the life that we want to be living. And I always say, right, you know, God love Hollywood, but just look at Hollywood, right? These are the richest, most beautiful, right? Most famous people in the world, right? They have everything that everybody thinks that they want. And more often than not, they're miserable and they can't get their lives to work and they can't get their marriages to work, right? And I'm not saying everybody. I'm sure there are many people in Hollywood that are doing just fine. But I'm using that as an example, right? We're not taught how to think differently.
Oh, and to your point, Joanna, it's not the stuff that's going to make us happy, right? It's not the amount in our bank account that's going to make us happy. And it's really the mindset around what we have, where we want to go, and enjoying the life we're living today. And I think that goes a lot to the discussion around mindfulness and being fully present and things like that. But before we tackle that, because we're going to get into that a little bit later with our 5 question segment, can you share for me and our listeners, from your perspective, what's the difference between your inner critic and imposter syndrome? Because we hear a lot about imposter syndrome, and then there's also the inner critic that you talk about. And I feel like there might be a distinction there that could be really important and possibly helpful for our listeners as well.
Mm-hmm. So the way that I explain this, okay, is that we've got an automatic mind. Okay. Like I said, speaks to us 60,000 times a day. It's an automatic mind. So when we're looking at something like imposter syndrome, okay, imposter syndrome, right? Meaning, oh, I'm not good enough for this. People are going to find out that I don't have what it takes. People are going to find out that I'm not smart enough and I'm not good enough. And I, right. And they're giving me, right. They think I'm wonderful and they think I've got all this, you know, these wonderful things, but I really don't. And I've got to, you know, pretend like I've got it all together. Okay. The bottom line is when we listen to and fuse with and align with those automatic thoughts in our minds, right. So if you look at, you know, thoughts that might be associated with imposter syndrome is, right, I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough, right? I don't have what it takes. And again, I believe that you, right? I don't mean you, I mean the collective you, right? If you're suffering from imposter syndrome, you had this at 9, you had this at 15, you had this at 27, you, right? It didn't just all of a sudden come out of thin air. You think it's because you're now the CEO of the company and, right, you've been given this huge job. It's not. There have been other versions of it before. So the bottom line is when we really understand how to unhook from our minds, which is very different than what most people, right? Most people in the mindfulness space or the coaching space or the psychotherapy space, okay? I would say the majority of people are trying to change their mind. They're trying to change their thoughts. I don't believe that we can do that. I don't believe that that's the goal. In fact, I think that when you think that you can change your mind, you're just going to keep frustrating yourself over and over again.
Well, you make a really important distinction there, Joanna, but you also said something that I really want to ask more about, and that's this idea of unhooking from our minds and recognizing. I would love to hear you explain it before I completely butchered this idea. So I'll let you go ahead and do that.
Okay. So what I mean by unhooking from our minds, okay, is that it is a moment by moment by moment practice, okay? It's not just a daily practice, a moment by moment practice. So every time we are inwardly disturbed, we're inwardly disturbed by something in our professional life, in our personal life, we're inwardly disturbed by something. That is our greatest opportunity. That is the greatest teaching moment that there is. Because if we can, in that moment, just get present for a minute, right? Get calm and present, right? And breathe and be able to clearly see your mind. It's like you're putting your mind on the palm of your hand, right? So you're out here, you are the observer of it. And you're going, oh, yep, there it is. There's that thing. Well, right? We call it imposter syndrome. Oh, there's my mind again telling me that I don't have what it takes, telling me that I'm stupid or that I'm not good enough or that she's better than I am, right? We watch it do its thing, okay? And the reason always why our mind does that thing is because when we were little girls and little boys, okay, little girls and little boys, something happened in our world, okay? And because no one can escape this, even if you didn't grow up in a traumatic, right, with traumatic circumstances or a chaotic family, it is inevitable that every single human experiences a moment in their early childhood, and we don't even have to remember what it is. But it's a moment in our early childhood where all of a sudden something is not okay. And because we are little, little children, it is overwhelming to us. Okay. So mom screams at us for spilling milk. We don't understand that mom is just frustrated because she just got into a fight with dad and the mortgage is due and they don't have the money to pay the mortgage or whatever happened. Right. And mom is just, you know, frustrated. And because we are 3 or 4 or 5 years old, we very automatically and unconsciously decide we are not good enough, okay? So what's really fascinating, and I love that you brought up the imposter syndrome, okay, is that in that moment, okay, that becomes what we could say is stuck energy. And in that moment, that very often defines the rest of our lives, okay? Many people who have an early experience of in some way I'm not good enough, go on to become doctors or go on to, you know, get 5 PhDs or whatever it is that they do. And that's a beautiful thing. But very often what's driving that behavior is, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. I need to keep going. I need to get to the next level. And right. And I'm not telling anybody not to go for fantastic goals. I've got huge goals. I'll never stop reaching for my goals. But the difference is I have to manage my mind, because if I'm going for my goals in order to feel like I'm enough, I'll never feel like I'm enough, right? Which is very often what happens for most people. And I just went on a tangent and I cannot even remember what the-
No. I think this is absolutely perfect, Joanna, because so we're kind of bringing together a whole lot of different ideas. And I love how you share like that experience or that triggering moment that we're just feeling is just stuck energy. And we can get ourselves unstuck. We can get out of the way of ourselves. And a new way, or maybe a different way, or of thinking about all of this is saying, that's interesting that I had that thought. And we can sort of detach from it. Maybe that's not the best word, but, you know, kind of like zoom out, right? So we want to be, instead of like down in the weeds, mired, oh, woe is me, and all the victim mentality and all the stories we can tell ourselves and being frustrated and depressed and all of those things. And again, this is all separate from like clinical depression and absolutely like that's, you know, go get help and that's a medical condition. But, you know, just if we're just feeling kind of sorry for ourselves, we have the ability to say, you know what, that happened and I didn't like it. And what do I want to choose to say, do, or think in this moment? And is that just a story I'm telling myself? Is it true? What components are true? Or what if it's not true? What's another way to look at this? And doing that brainstorming activity, is that sort of a fair way to wrap this up?
Well, okay. So the thing is,
no, right. I'm not a licensed psychotherapist, so I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just trying to bring it full circle for our listeners here. Yeah,
no. Okay. So full circle. Okay. Is that every moment when you are practicing seeing your mind doing its thing, and just relaxing, right? Not trying to make your mind stop doing its thing, but just relaxing, breathing, right? Just, okay, I'm just gonna, right? This, my mind that's telling me I'm not good enough is making me feel really uncomfortable. But you know what? This feeling of discomfort is nothing more than an inner vibration, right? I can feel my heart is beating and my breathing is getting heavy, right? And I can feel the tension in my chest, but I don't have to make that feeling go away. Okay. I can actually just relax and watch my mind do its bup, 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 bup. But I now know that that's not real. And if that's not real, if that's my inner critic, if that's not me, my authentic self, that's my inner critic, I can let my inner critic say what she is going to say, and I don't have to do anything about it. And I can practice every moment letting her be and relaxing. And if we keep practicing this over and over and over and over and over, it changes the trajectory of our lives, because now we are no longer this constant reaction to the outside world. Okay. Because people are going to say crappy things, right? People are going to do things that are going, right? Things are not going to go our way. We're going to fail. We're going to get rejected. People are going to say things. It's not right? If we keep reacting to the outside world, we are going to continue to be stuck over and over and over again. So every time the outside world gets us, we have the ability to practice calming, literally calming our nervous system, right? You know, I know you mentioned anxiety and depression, right? And I know that is a medical issue, but it is a medical issue that in part, okay, has been created over time, over time, over time, over time, because it is the beliefs that we have about ourselves and our life that started from childhood that actually form neural pathways in our minds that create actual brain chemistry issues that trigger some of that symptomology, right? So it's so complex. There are so many different layers of all of this, but the bottom line, if we're going to just really sum it up, everything starts in our minds. Our minds determine the emotions that we're experiencing. The emotions that we're experiencing determine the actions that we're taking. And the actions that we're taking is what makes our life go in the direction that it goes. And it is astounding to me that in our culture, we're not taught how to manage our minds. We're not taught how to intentionally think. And what is so crazy about that it is the most important education we could ever, ever, ever receive, ever.
Right. No, and this brings back a couple of really interesting points. And I love teaching tangible takeaways for my audience here today. So I do want to ask, because I've had a lot of different guests on the show, and we're talking around these same topics in a whole host of different ways, right? Yep. And so there's the idea of habit forming and creating new neural pathways. And yes. Now that in some ways, this is how my mind is working and kind of trying to create some links between some of these ideas for our listeners is like, mm-hmm. Okay, well, we get stuck in one way of negative thinking. We've created these really strong neural pathways. I love to think about it as like when we rode our bikes around that big pine tree in our yard and we've dug this giant rut. And now we want to go, oh, look, let's go look at that flower. And it's like, oh no, like our neural pathways are so strong. It's like, nope, we're still going in the circle and we want to go over there. So now we have to stop our bikes, pick it up, move it over, and then go on our path, which makes it really hard. And so, but when we're talking about our minds and all of these thoughts and the automaticness of it, I mean, is it not also possible to create that new thought pathway, but it's really hard because of how strong our neural pathways are? Is that why you're suggesting that we're going to be stuck in this frustration and that just simply doing nothing and just learning to relax in that moment is an easier way to resolve these emotions?
So the frustration that we feel is from our thoughts, right? So if we practice this over time, and I hear this all the time, okay? What ends up happening is the things that used to frustrate us, the things that used to trigger us, all of a sudden, we're not triggered, right? I hear all the time, and it doesn't take very long either, okay? When I say practice over time, I mean, I work with people for 6 months, okay? And I swear to you, within a couple of months of doing this work, people are like, oh my God, my husband said this thing. My kid said this thing. My patient said this thing. A year ago, I would have gone ballistic. I would have been, you know, I would have screamed, or I would have run out of the room, or I would have been crying, or I would have been this, or I would have been that. And they say, just like within like a couple of months, all of a sudden I look back and I realized, oh my God, I was like barely even triggered. I let them like just have their opinion of me, have their judgment, say their thing, do their thing. And I really saw, oh my God, that's them. That's from their mind. That's got nothing to do with me. So it is, that's the issue, is that it's when we let it be, okay? And instead of saying, you disrespected me, right? We say, okay, you said what you said. Might not have been nice, might have been, right? people do all sorts of crazy things. You did what you did. It is my thoughts about what you did or what you said that are responsible for my frustration. You are not responsible for my frustration, right? Because that's living a very different life, right? So we're not blaming the external world, whether it's people or circumstances, for our inner disturbance. And as we keep, right? Again, it's moment by moment by moment when we're first practicing this. Oh my God, my frustration, blah, 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 right? But we're seeing it. Oh yeah, that's the same feeling that shows up. That's my seven-year-old self, right? When Johnny, you know, little Johnny on the playground, right? Called me, you know, redheaded freckle face, right? I mean, or like whatever, right? Because I had red hair and freckles, right? You know, oh my God, I remember the shame and the humiliation and the embarrassment, but you know what? I'm not seven anymore, right? Like, right? I'm 40 or I'm 50 or whatever it is, right? I know who I am. I can actually let this client or this patient or my kid or whoever or my neighbor, I can let them have their opinion. Now, I'm not saying that we just let people walk all over us, right? I mean, you know, you might need to say, you know, you may not talk to me that way. You might even need to, you know, if it's your kid, you might need to have a consequence, right? Absolutely. We say, no, that's unacceptable and I'm leaving. Okay. Or I'm, you know, whatever boundary we have to set, of course, but it is that we are not so inwardly disturbed. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense. I'm sure helping so many of our listeners today, and I'm just asking a lot of questions around this because, like I said, we've been having these conversations since 2018 when I started this podcast, and we have a lot of different ideas and a lot of different perspectives, and I love bringing the experts and just really understanding, like, okay, great. Well, how do I make that turn into a tangible action that I can actually take home with me today and start practicing today? Yeah. And, you know, it sounds very similar from what you're suggesting to another guest we had on the show around this idea of emotional resolution, that when we experience an emotion, we can simply do nothing. And within 90 seconds or so, that emotion will go away if we don't necessarily have to take that action or have to yell back or have to engage, as you're kind of describing. And you're sharing it as like learning to relax. And maybe there's some relaxing techniques that seem to work, or and his suggestion was do nothing. Like if you can absolutely do nothing, think nothing, do nothing, or like you said, observe your thoughts, but recognize I'm not being chased by a lion. Like I'm actually, am I like, okay, I'm safe here. Like if that's true, right? 90% of the time, it probably is when we're having these strong emotional reactions. Sometimes, you know, we may not be, that may be a different situation that we have to address entirely differently, but, you know, really recognizing, you know, can I just, like you said, observe it, just let everything happen and just sit there and just say, okay, well, I don't have to react right now.
Yes.
And then we can just get on with our day, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
I mean, I'm making this way too simple, but I really want this simple, tangible action for people to take home with them today.
I love it. I love it. Okay. So here is the bottom line. Okay. Every single solitary reason why we suffer, okay, is because we are hardwired, conditioned around wanting life to give us what we want and wanting life to not give us what we don't want. Okay. In other words, we are all about, I want to seek pleasure and I want to avoid pain.
And okay, I'm going to smash that round peg into that square hole, whatever I have to do to get there. Like how badly I want that tangible take-home message today for our listeners.
So. That's right. That's right. So the thing is, all we ever have, okay? So many people, right? The reason why they want this, what's the tangible thing? What's the tangible thing I can do so that I don't experience the pain? And the answer is, you can't not experience the pain. Okay. That is life. Sometimes life goes the way we want. Sometimes life doesn't go the way we want. Okay. We're never, ever, ever going to get life to give us everything that we want. So when life shows up in a way, right, I call those your inner critic addictions, okay? Our inner critics are addicted to demanding, I need life to go the way I want it to. I need for you to treat me the way I want to be treated. I need to get that goal. I need to get that thing, right? Whatever it is, I need that thing. We can fill in the blank with whatever it is. I need that thing in order to feel okay. And what I'm saying is, that's an illusion. That is a complete illusion. For you to keep trying to get your emotional well-being out there externally, it's just not going to work. Okay. Even when we get what we want, it's right, then we're afraid we're going to lose it. And then we're on to the next thing. It just never, ever works. So the other guest you were talking about when he said, do nothing. Okay. It's similar to what I'm saying, but what I'm really saying is, right, I'm taking it a little like one step further. Okay. What you're really doing is you're saying, oh, there's my inner critic. That's not me. All the drama, all the upset, all the frustration, all the overwhelm, all the fear, all the doubt, all the everything, right? You know, even I've worked with people that have suffered really like horrible losses, okay? And that's, right? Is there pain when we experience a horrible loss? Absolutely, okay? It's inevitable. The suffering, okay? Their pain and suffering are two completely different things, okay? And I have clients that have experienced the unthinkable, right? I mean, loss of a child. I can't even comprehend what that has to be like, okay? And do they experience sadness? Absolutely. Will they experience sadness about that for the rest of their lives? Absolutely. And while they are experiencing sadness, they are also able to experience joy and love and laughter and freedom and abundance and all of the beautiful things too, right? But they would not be able to experience all of that if they spent the rest of their lives saying, this, that shouldn't have happened and it's wrong that it happened and trying to push away, right? Life giving us something that, It's like, that's really the bottom line.
Oh, and I love this. Thank you so much, Joanna, because I think I've heard you say this before, that pain is universal and it's life and it's in our lives. Yeah. However, suffering is a choice.
Absolutely.
And so I love how you shared that with all of us today, because we can have complex emotions. We can both be happy and sad at the same time. We can both experience pain and joy. Yes. And it's okay. It's okay to also have the joy and the peace and the feelings of abundance, even if some really goofy, unforeseen, and frustrating things are underfoot as well.
Yes, because that's not anything that we're going to be able to control.
And everybody has the same experience, right? Like, I mean, we all have the human experience and we all have the emotional experience that way. So yes, I love that. I love that. And I think it's so hilarious. And I so love that you were so gracious and kind as I was just channeling our audience and all of the thoughts and all of like the frustrations that I know I felt as a busy professional and that I can hear just behind like all of like out there in the universe saying, but how do I make this reality? You know, and it's like, well, that's the point, is that we don't yeah. force it. And we can just really have some fun and go for a walk, breathe, stop for a second.
And I do want to say, right. So I wrote my book, which is called It's called Dethroning Your Inner Critic, the 4-step journey from self-doubt to self-empowerment. Okay. So I do have a method and it's called the mind method. It is a 4-step method. Okay. And I wrote the book really to be the owner's manual for your mind. And in that book, there are a ton of exercises, okay? But the exercises, questions to ask your inner critic, right? I have morning questions to ask your inner critic and evening questions to ask your inner critic. And the whole methodology is about how do you become so intimately familiar with your inner critic, with everything that it says. Why does it say it? When does it say it? How long has it been saying it? Where did it start? What are, right? The I step is the indication signs, right? The M step is meet your inner critic. The I step is investigate the indication signs, right? Those are the blinking red lights that show you, oh, there's your inner critic. The N step is neutralize the never-ending message, right? Because when you can really distill it down, it's always saying the same message since you were 5 or 6 or 7. And then the D step is design your life. So these steps, people practice all of these steps to get so intimately familiar with the difference between their inner critic mind and the mind of their authentic self. And for many, many people, they don't even know who they are, because they've been so swallowed by their inner critic for so long, right? That when they start unhooking from their inner critic, right? It's like this new part of them emerges. But the truth is, it's not a new part. It's a part that's been shoved so deep down because people have been so fused, so aligned with that inner critic mind, that when we start quieting it and we start unhooking from it and separating ourselves from it, right? It's this whole new way, all right? I call it rewiring a new mind because we are thinking from a very different mind that's tapping into very different emotions, that's having us practice very different actions that are in alignment with the lives that we really want to be living, which is to, again, have that peace and that joy and that love and that abundance. So there are very specific ways to access really that deep inner knowing of the difference between you and your inner critic. And that's the most powerful life that we can live, is when you know the difference between you and your inner critic.
And I love that. Thank you so much for sharing with our listeners about your new book and all of these great tools and tips and questions. And I love the idea. And, you know, questions are so powerful. Yes. The power of questions to more positively direct our minds, or, you know, like you said, work through all of these things. So questions are super powerful. And I love this idea of having morning questions and night questions. And depending on which stage of that four-step process you're in, all the different questions that you can ask and really ask yourself. It's easy to ask other people questions, especially for us healthcare providers and busy professionals. It's really hard to ask ourselves these questions. And we're like, what are the answers? Where are they? Right. So and as a special surprise, and I sent this out in an email to everybody on our email list yesterday, you were staying after to do some virtual book signings and really get to know our listeners. So I'm super excited for that as well. Yeah. And as promised, we do have an audience question from today.
Yeah.
And great. So one of our listener questions is, why does our inner critic creep in when we're learning something new? I don't remember doing it when I was in college. Why does it seem to become louder as we age?
That's a great question. And, you know, I don't know. For some people, it doesn't become louder. It's just the same volume for their whole lives. But, you know, here's what happens. Okay. When we're in our, let's say we're in our 20s, okay? We've got so much of life ahead of us, right? And so we're still listening to our inner critic, but this is what our inner critic is saying when we're in our 20s, right? Let's say, oh, once you get out of college and you get your first job, then it's all going to come together, right? Then you get out of college, you get your first job. Okay, well, now once you get to the level of income, right? Then life is really going to come together, right? And then, well, no, once you get married, and then once you have a kid, right? So the issue is when we're younger, we've got all these check marks that have not been checked yet. And so we really truly believe, like we look at what's ahead and we go, oh, I'm so excited because I know that's coming, right? And we can actually live our life with more freedom and joy because, you know, it's funny what we're looking at is like you know, we've got this future full of possibility. Okay. Now, the thing is, here we are now, we're in our 40s, we're in our 50s. We've actually gotten pretty much all of those things. We've checked off all of the boxes that we said that's going to be the thing. Okay. So when we look out into the rest of our lives, we're like, uh-oh, what's next, right? The choice of what's next is getting smaller and smaller and smaller, right? And so our inner critic gets louder and louder and louder, right? Because, you know, and you hear this all the time. You hear people that, you know, have gotten to the top of the proverbial mountain, right? And they get there, right? They spent their whole lives getting there and they're at the top of the mountain and they look up at the top of the mountain. They're like, is this it? Right. You know, and on a deeper level, I mean, these are, you know, I love that Michael Phelps is such an advocate for mental health because, you know, he talks about this, right? Tiger Woods, a lot of athletes, you know, talk about that. They get to right the top of their game and they're still struggling. Right. And at its worst, I mean, these are the Anthony Bourdains and the Kate Spades and the Robin Williams of the world, right? Where they've done everything that they set out to do. Right. And this is why we've got to think in a different way. And so our inner critics get louder. Okay. Because it is our authentic self that's really screaming at you. Stop trying to get the outside world to make you happy. It's not working. I know you thought it was going to work in your 20s. It's not working. You've gotten it all. You're still unhappy. You got to do something different.
Oh my goodness. I absolutely love that. And it's so true. And as you were describing all of these things, it's like, huh, that gets us right back to where we started this conversation today about once I achieve X, then I will magically be happy. And so I think I don't see any other questions that have come in. So we are going to go ahead and jump on over and broadcast to Facebook for our five questions segment.
Yay.
We are actually live here with Joanna Kleinman today with our five questions segment. And for those that we just finished our live recording of the podcast with Joanna Kleinman, I couldn't be more excited than to have her back on the show. She is the licensed psychotherapist, a national workshop leader, and upcoming author with more. Oh, no, not upcoming anymore. She is an author and her book is out and available. And we're going to give her a minute to share a little bit about that. For folks who are on the webinar with us today as a member of the live audience, they will get the exclusive opportunity to do a meet and greet with Joanna and get a signed copy of the book. For those of you who can't join us, I will be sure to post all of that information both to this Facebook video and on YouTube and also in the show notes when everything goes live here in 4 to 6 weeks on the podcast. So please stay tuned for that as well. But she created this online transformational program called Dethroning Your Inner Critic. And that's the name of the book too, isn't it, Joanna?
It is. Yes, it is. Yep.
Awesome. And so we'll be sure to let you know all the great places to go get your copy of Dethroning Your Inner Critic and how to get a signed copy too, if you're interested in that. Stay tuned for all of those details. But we had this great conversation today around the differences between our inner critic and our imposter syndrome and how they're similar and different and the difference between that and emotional resolution. And we even answered some of the listener questions that were emailed in as well. So without further ado, it's time for my favorite part of every show, which is our five questions segment. Are you ready, Joanna?
Ready.
Awesome. So for question number one, we know that the most successful and happy people have a morning routine. What do you do each morning or evening that sets your day up for success?
That's great. Okay. So the first thing that I do, and this is, you know, really before I even get out of bed is, I do a little meditation and this is part of my, dethroning your inner critic practice. Okay. But I unhook from my automatic mind. Okay. So I just quiet my mind. I get present. I get still. Sometimes I talk to God. But I just get myself present. That sets a very, very different tone for my day.
Oh, I absolutely love that. And I love asking these five questions because success leaves trails and clues, right? And so the more people we talk to, there are so many themes throughout these five questions and these morning routines. And I just think it's so important that we're learning from each other and sharing what works for us so we can figure out what works for ourselves.
Yeah.
And for questions number two and three, as we talked about just a minute ago too, Joanna, you know that I love to separate out these two questions because so many of us have this idea that once I achieve X success, then I will magically be happy. And we know from the research that that just quite simply isn't true.
Yes.
So for question number two, what's your definition of success?
I love that. Okay. My definition of success is ongoingly unhooking from my automatic mind that is hardwired, conditioned to keep wanting to get to the next arrival point and wanting to ward off life from giving me what I don't want. Because to me, that is the most successful life, is living a life of surrendering, right? Looking at the future and looking at the past, right? I want to live a life where I am present right now and I am experiencing joy and love and peace and abundance and gratitude and freedom from exactly what life is, because my life, your life, all of our life is never going to be exactly the way that we want, right? So we're waiting for life to be this ideal version of the way our automatic mind says it's supposed to be. We are going to keep ourselves stuck in lack and scarcity and not enoughness. And I cannot stress this enough. In my opinion, that is the only success that there ever, ever is knowing exactly how to think right now in a way where you're accessing joy and love and contentment and peace right now.
Oh my goodness. So good. And I'm seeing a theme here with unhooking and really all that talk, everything we talked about with how to dethrone our inner critics on the podcast earlier today as well.
Yep. Yep.
So,
and that's why I don't call my work silencing it, banishing it, quieting it, making it go away. Okay. I call it dethroning because it's always going to be on the throne of our mind. And if we know, right, how to dethrone that automatic mind moment by moment by moment, then, right, over time in that practice, right, as our lives unfold, we find ourselves living a very different life, but it's because we know how to unhook and separate ourselves from that mind. We're right, not to make it go away or quiet it or get rid of it.
No, we just want to get it out of the driver's seat and maybe into the passenger seat or maybe that back seat even. Yeah. I don't know.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That's it.
Awesome. And Joanna, for question number three, what's your definition of happiness?
Oh, you know, so happiness. That's such a word with so much, you know, connotation, right? So I think that happiness is elusive, right? I think a new car can make us happy. I think a new outfit can make us happy, right? But it's so fleeting. So I don't really believe in having a life where we're going for happiness. Not that there's, right? Like,
no. So let's ask that question because you're not the first guest actually to say this either. Mm. And quite a few have said happiness is a moment.
Yes.
But joy is longer lasting.
That's right.
So you subscribe to that same theory. And I think some of us, I don't know if I want to say conflate, but I think is a better word. Some of us equate happiness and joy, whereas some of us separate that out maybe more and say, you know, happiness is this momentary thing. Joy is really that deeper level of happiness, for a lack of words to surround these words, right?
Right. So I think whether you're using the term joy or happiness, okay, I think what it is the ability to be with all of life, not just the parts of life that we like and we want, okay, but really the ability to be with all of it, to let life unfold in whatever way, shape, or form it's going to unfold. And when it unfolds in a way, right, where we are, right, something fails, something doesn't go our way, somebody doesn't like us, somebody judges us, we are rejected, right? All the life things that happen to us. I do think that true joy is the ability to stay centered and in touch with yourself. And it's not, right? We would prefer those things to not happen, right? But when they do, we can flow with it and we can allow it to be what it is. And we can even trust that it's happening because on some level, we need to learn from it. We need to grow from it, right? Or something is leaving our life to make room and space for the next, you know, chapter to emerge. We can just trust the flow of all of life. That to me is really living a life of true joy.
Oh, that's so beautiful. I really appreciate that. And sometimes I just don't think, at least I don't have a deep enough vocabulary to encompass all of these nuances as we're talking about these words, but at least like, let's have a starting point. Let's have this conversation around, you know, how do we get to that place of happiness, or we're living that life of meaning, or we can find joy and versus, oh, it's all tied to success, or, you know, like how can we start to separate these things out and have that conversation?
Yeah, absolutely. And it, you know, again, this is the work that I do in the world. In my opinion, it is all about knowing how to think in a way where you are flowing with all of life and you are not letting any external circumstances determine your level of peace and joy and balance. So, right, you're still taking actions that are in alignment with what, you know, the goals and the things that you want, but along the way, you know how to think so that you're accessing, you know, you don't need it. Right? You might want you, right? Maybe it'll come, maybe it won't, but no matter what, you don't need it because you already are, right? Exactly experiencing life exactly the way that you want now.
Oh, and that's so amazing. And I love that. And one of my favorite questions is question number 4, Joanna. What do you know now that you wish you would have known 10 years ago?
Everything I just said.
So true. And I love asking this question because I feel like we can learn so much from each other, but also we learn so much from ourselves and our own life experience, right?
Well, you know, and I said this on the podcast, I'll say it again. All the work I do, I've been on a personal growth journey, literally nonstop, for 31 years. Okay. Since the age of 19. So hundreds of thousands of dollars I've spent on the books and the courses and the programs and all of it, right? To learn how to think in the way that I'm thinking now, right? And I developed all my methodology out of that personal growth journey. But, you know, really, I developed it mostly for myself because, you know, it was like I hit this stage where I really had accomplished everything that I had set out to do, right? I have this amazing husband, I have these 3 beautiful children. I have a thriving, you know, practice as a psychotherapist. And right, there was still this level of discontent. I'm fascinated by the mind and fascinated really by, you know, here, what I love working with the most is people that know they have major contributions to make to the world. They have, right? They know what they want to bring to the world, and yet they are stopped and stuck, right? By their own mind. That's where I was. And right. And so in my teaching other people, right, I have this beautiful community of women all over the world that I work with, right? And right, they're part of my programs, but they teach me as much as I teach them. And we're all growing and learning and evolving together. And it's what we can do as women when we come together and support each other in our growth is astronomically different than what we can do when it's just our own individual selves. That's really my passion, is for women coming together to learn and grow in this way.
Oh, I love that. And it's so incredibly true. And having those conversations with each other and learning from each other and sharing. And I find that true myself, is that sometimes I learn as much from my clients as I'm sure that they learn from me. So yeah. And then for question number five, what do you think is the biggest issue facing busy professionals today?
Discontent. I mean, the biggest issue facing busy professionals is that, again, they don't know how to think. Okay. So they are the busyness, right? And I know we're all working hard, okay? But the busyness and the lack of content and the frustration and the, right? Just not feeling the way that they want to feel. If they keep looking at getting to the next level, they're missing the point. And I do really think that the more that people know how to think, right? From a completely rewired new mind, I think that has the power to change the planet, because I think there are so many people that are living lives of pain and they don't recognize that it's all stemming from their automatic mind.
Yeah. And that's so interesting, because as you were talking, I was also hearing in my own mind, like the idea of, well, we're discontented because we're, you know, hustling and we're trying to fit it all in and cram it all in, do all the things and be everything, because we're playing the comparison game on social media and all of these things. Right. And and so really learning to be content with what we have, right?
Yeah. Well, see, the pandemic was, you know, the global awakening to this, mm-hmm. right? I mean, on so many levels, I do believe, right, that it was as horrific as it has, you know, has been, and right, has cost people their lives, right? It was like this wake up call, right? If we keep operating this way, right, on a personal level, right, on a national level, on a global level, right, where we just keep going and going, and right, with ruining the environment, and right, I mean, it just ripples. It's like it starts in our individual lives, and then it ripples into right what we're doing globally. We need to wake up.
Yeah. And really figuring out what it is for ourselves that provides that contentment, that joy, that happiness, that feeling of success. Like all of the questions that I ask here today is to really take it sort of full circle to say, you know, what is that for you? And how can we all work together to figure that out for ourselves? So Joanna, if they want to learn more on how to dethrone their inner critics, where can they connect with you, and how can they get a copy of your book?
Yes. Well, my book, it's Dethroning Your Inner Critic, The 4-Step Journey from Self-Doubt to Self-Empowerment. It is available on Amazon. It is a number one bestseller on Amazon internationally. I'm very proud of that. And you can also find it on Audible. My website is dethroningyourinnercritic.com. I also have a weekly podcast called Dethroning Your Inner Critic. I have online courses and communities of women that learn together. And then I also work with people individually. I also work with companies all over the world with their leadership team, particularly female leadership teams. And I'm teaching people how to think in a fundamentally different way. So you can, you know, learn all about me on my website, dethroningyourinnercritic.com, or check out my podcast or my book.
Awesome. And for those of you who are also podcast subscribers, we're on all your favorite podcast platforms at Beyond the Stethoscope. We will also be including in the show notes and in the comments or links or somehow onto this Facebook video and all the videos at some point here in the near future. So please be patient as we figure that out, how to get you your very own signed copy if you could not be a member of our live audience today as well. So with that, thank you again, Joanna, for all of the time that you have taken to share all of your wisdom and teaching our audience to think differently and to feel happier and more successful and just have those better emotions as busy professionals. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Angela. Take care.
That's all the time we have for this week's episode of Beyond the Stethoscope. I hope you are inspired to take actionable steps towards accomplishing your goals and living your dreams.